engage in the executive session. It went a little longer than we thought it might. We had an opportunity to meet with Chief O'Connor from the Urbana campus to discuss security there for the students. I'd say it was a very comprehensive presentation that she made to us, and there was a great deal of dialogue and number of questions, and we applaud Chief O'Connor for her efforts. We're thankful to the various cooperating police departments, both in Urbana and Champaign and the county, the state police, and we look forward to regular updates on the safety issue, which is so important to the entire board, and an issue which I know Chancellor Easter takes personally, so we appreciate his commitment as well. At this point now, we'll return to the agenda, and I'm going to ask Pam Strobel to present.
Thank you, Chairman Kennedy. I'm going to give you the report of the meeting of the Governance Personnel and Ethics Committee, which met this week on Tuesday. That was our most recent regularly scheduled meeting. I'd like to thank my colleagues on the board, Trustees Hacera and Montgomery and Soso, for your faithful attendance and your excellent preparation and the helpful discussion that we've been having at all of our meetings. We had a fairly detailed report and discussion at this meeting on a proposal for a revised leadership development program, and the subject matter of leadership development has been an ongoing one at our committee as we look at the demographics of the university and the just the slope of the expected retirements over the next several years, and making sure that internally the university is focusing on developing a set of leaders that can have the potential to rise into additional leadership positions, and also just a trained cadre of people who can be respected as leaders, almost irrespective of promotional opportunities, but just as a great talent pool within the university. So Maureen Parks gave us a presentation. There's been a lot of effort made already in consolidating and integrating and reducing extraneous programs and kind of bringing this together in a more systematic way across the three campuses also. So we're taking greater advantage of the resources that we have within the entire university. So the proposal, which is not in a place to be approved today, but one that we endorsed after talking about it, would involve an 18-month training and educational program for selected individuals. The class that would begin later this year would be composed of 24 people as proposed, but there's still going to be some additional discussion internally on that, and would cut the cost by at least half of what the existing programs had been to accomplish similar results. So this has been referred now to President Hogan for the final review and consultation that Maureen Parks will do inside the university. We also reviewed comments that had been prepared by former President Eikenberry and by Michelle Thompson as drafts of responses to the questions that were generated at our retreat, and this is all going into what will become a full report and something that we can continue to look at and review and use as guideposts as we do our annual or regular strategic retreats with the board. We reviewed two recommendations that were going to be on the agenda today. One has been withdrawn regarding the structure on the research part. The other one is an amendment to the university's policy on conflict of commitments and interest. And this is in your agenda today for approval. I would say it's relatively straightforward in terms of providing a better technological system for reporting conflicts and monitoring potential conflicts of interest, and making sure that we're better able to ensure that we're in compliance with federal regulations as funding comes in that requires a statement of conflict or commitment. And I would like to commend Vice President Rao for her work on this. This is apparently something that has been in motion for a number of years and kind of falling back within our other umbrella of why do things take so long. That question was posed when we were first informed that this policy would be ready for approval by the end of this academic year, and we asked why. And so it gives me great pleasure to say that we're going to be asking you to approve this in January as opposed to in June. And to the extent that this required additional assistance from the faculty, from the Senate, I'd like to commend them also. Thank you for being responsive to a question to move something along as expeditiously as we could. It's noted and it's greatly appreciated. And then we concluded our meeting and we'll have our next one in March. Would my fellow members of the committee like to add anything?
You did a great job.
Excellent.
I mean, I might speak for the rest of the board just to amplify our own views on succession management and how important that is and how complicated it is when those mechanisms are not in place. We lived through a painful era together, and you know, we're still dealing with that. There are a number of Chicago institutions like McDonald's that have received incredibly high marks from the business community, from analysts, from investors and others, or their well-articulated succession management program, which has been so helpful to them. And organizations which focus on that often are laying the groundwork for terrific long-term success. It's not as clear in the short term how valuable it is, but absolutely a long term. I know that academic institutions are notorious for being poor succession management organizations, and I think you have the potential to, you know, probably create a model which becomes the standard across the country. So keep up the good work. Thank you. Are there any other questions for the committee? Thank you then, Pam. I think we're going to skip the report on university governmental relationships in the interest of time and the hope that Kathy will prepare a written summary in the future and share it with all of us. I hope you understand that you have our apologies for any preparation you did for this meeting, and I think you have our apologies and the thanks of your colleagues back there for agreeing to send that to us. Maybe we'd go right to the update on diversity at the university. I might ask Mina to present to us today.
Thank you very much, Tim Kennedy. And before I start, I just want to thank Trustee Strobel for those kind words, but I wish I had memorized the John Bardeen quote. It was really a huge team of people who let that conflict of thing come through. It was careful shepherding by Chris Campbell in my office. Michael Heitz and Melanie Lutz led the two subcommittees. Rebecca Lynn and Lynn Party helped. So there was true involvement of a number of different people. So thank you for that. So what we're going to do today is we were asked to talk about a sort of a year in review perspective of what we've done in terms of diversity presentations. And here I've drawn upon the expertise of Heather Haberacker and Mike Bass for the presentations that they have made on diversity in this past 12 months. But before we start with that, based upon a question that Trustee Montgomery asked at the Governance and Ethics Committee meeting the other day, I'd just like to take 1 minute to preface it with how we define diversity at the University of Illinois. We've taken the quote from a book, Now is the Time, Meeting the Challenge for a Diverse Academy, that all of you received copies of at the July board retreat. And we broadly define it to include all aspects of human difference, including but not limited to race, ethnicity, gender, age, sexual orientation, religion, disability, socioeconomic status as a veteran, as well as geographical diversity. We embrace the diversity of voice, view, and idea that comes from an inclusive environment. And we acknowledge that the contribution that diversity brings to the academic excellence of the institution. And in all its facets, it must be integrated in the fabric of the university for all of our students, faculty, and staff to excel. These are kind of our aspirational goals. Ooh, sorry, I'm too short. Okay. So if I can, am I doing the slides? Oh, great. So during the past year, we had a number of presentations that highlighted diversity issues as they relate to students, faculty, and staff. And in addition, some of the presentations that were made to the Academics and Student Affairs Committee highlighted aspects of diversity. Rather than give you a chronological listing, what we've decided to do is to discuss them under the following three topics: diversity in the academy, diversity with respect to working with minority-owned enterprises, and a brief overview of what you did at your retreat in July. At your tables today, there is a copy of a summary of how race and ethnicity is now reported dependent on the 2007 guidelines issued by the U.S. Department of Education, in case you want to see how we categorize it. So the diversity presentations from November 2009 to 2010 are shown here. And under diversity in the academy, in the November 2009 meeting, we provided kind of an overview of diversity in the university. We provided statistics on student demographics, undergraduate, graduate, and professional. We gave you similar information on tenure system faculty and on the staff. Finally, we introduced the university's efforts in exploring business opportunities with minority-owned businesses. The subsequent approaches to that took a much more granular approach of peeling back specific issues that related to various segments of the academy. So therefore, at the March 2010 meeting, the focus was on faculty diversity. This complemented, and we tried to do this with other issues the board was dealing with, so our March meeting complemented a broader presentation of faculty development and sabbatical decisions that the board was making at that meeting. At that time, we benchmarked our faculty demographics, and we also spoke a little bit about leadership development and the gender and ethnicity distribution of amongst our RAMP administrators. In the May 2010 meeting, the focus was on graduate and professional programs. And under professional programs, we obviously have professional programs in law, business, and the healthcare professional disciplines. And we specifically highlighted the urban health program, which has been in existence for over 35 years and ranks as one of the nation's most successful programs, in the training of underrepresented minorities in the health professions. And this past November, although it was not presented to the full board, we did a segment on prospective students to the Academic and Student Affairs Committee. And although there was not a separate presentation on diversity, there were diversity issues discussed on this. In the next few slides, what I'd like to do is give you a sampling of the data so that of some of the things, it's sort of like your last year in review going before your eyes. So. Shown on this slide, and I have to tell you that we've tried to update the data to the latest data we have available. So what you may have seen a year ago may have been for slightly earlier data, but the message is very similar. So the University of Illinois has a diverse student body, and I'm sorry for the smallness of the numbers on these slides, but if we compare ourselves to the Big Ten plus University of Chicago, the UIC ranks number one, Urbana ranks number two, and the Springfield campus ranks around fourth or fifth if you look in that cohort of individuals. The number of underrepresented, and this is a total number of students, undergraduate, graduate, and professionals, and we consider ourselves, compared to our peers, we compare favorably well in terms of the number of students we have. clearly, if you then peel back this in terms of the support programs we have for the students,